Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Linda.
I've been asked to speak on the tongue today. I wonder if I can invite all the children to come up here. Anybody, any of the children would like to come up here? We're going to have a little look at making a puppet today, talking about the tongue. Would you like to just come up here? Parents, you can come up and bring them if you like. Come and have a sit down. Have a sit down. There you go. Thank you. Come and sit down. Come and sit down. Well done. Okay. Well, so good morning. How are we today?
Wonderful.
Good. Okay, so this is a family gathering. So I wonder if I could just ask the children just to think about this thing that's in your mouth. Okay, we're going to be learning about the tongue. And I was wondering, children, can you stick your tongues out? There we go. Who can stick their tongue out? Do you ever do that at home? Do you ever do that at home? Oh, what's happening over there? Oh. Wow. What's happening over there? Goodness, have a look. Listen to how they're talking. Goodness me.
Oh.
They're just chatting. Can you hear what they're saying? Are they saying nice words? Oh, don't know. I can't hear nice words.
You know that Davey bird?
Do you think that's nice things to say? Are they talking nicely?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that. Oh, look over here. Well.
Hey, John. Hey, did you hear?
That's not very nice, is it? What are you doing? They're using their tongue. Are they saying nice things? I don't think they're saying nice things, are they? Thank you. Well, children, I didn't expect to hear those kind of words in church today, did you? Well, were those people saying kind words to each other? I don't think so. No, they weren't, were they? They were gossiping and they were talking about other people. That's not the way we want to be, is it? Well, the Bible tells us about our tongues, okay, that you were sticking out. Does anybody ever stick their tongue out at each other? Sometimes, maybe. No, never. So, the Bible tells us about our tongues and how it's a very powerful tool to either help or to hurt people. It can go either way. What comes out of your mouth can either help or it can hurt. It says our tongue may be little. Our tongue is very tiny in our mouth, isn't it? But it's very strong. Strong enough, like on the bit of a horse, that bit that goes in its mouth. It can turn the whole animal. It's a tiny little piece of metal in the mouth, and it can turn the whole animal. Or like a small spark. The words we speak can start a whole forest fire. Did you know that? Burning everything in sight. So in the book of James, we learn that we need to control our tongue. We need to control and think carefully about our words. The Bible tells us to speak kindly to each other, to encourage each other, and to build each other up. Can you think of some kind words that you might say to somebody? Can anybody think of some kind words? What would you say to somebody that was kind? I love you. Perfect. Anybody else? Any kind words? What could you say?
You're a nice girl.
You're a nice girl. There we are. Those are the kind of words we want to be hearing. Okay. Now, today I've got a little craft for you over at the table over there. I've got Jackie and I think Catherine's going to help her. You're going to be making a puppet. This is not what we want. We don't want to be bullying or saying words that are unkind to each other. We want to have kind words. And there's all kinds of things there that you can make a double-sided puppet. So if you'd like to go over to the table. Parents, if you wouldn't mind supervising them, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Did you want to take that over to the table, please? Take this over to the table and give it to that lady that's over there. Thank you. That's great. Okay. We'll just wait till they get settled and into their craft. So this morning, everyone, I'm calling this talk The Perpetual Positive Power, keeping in line with our series, The Perpetual Transformation. So we've just seen with the children that they need to be taught and reminded that words can hurt, and our tongues are powerful instruments of those words. Once they're out, it's very difficult to roll them back in again. Most of us will have read or heard scripture about the tongue from James in chapter 3. That's probably the most famous. Can I have James chapter 3, please?
When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell.
Ooh, pretty strong stuff. That's guidance that is what? Sobering, solemn, serious. But today, I wanted to look at how, as we mature in our Christian life, we understand that our words impact those around us, and we can choose to release those words in a manner that can be helpful or hurtful. And we can use them to uplift people, to build people up, to encourage one another, to change the course of a conversation from bad to good, to think about that perpetual transformation. So let's explore some examples of how the tongue has a powerful, positive influence throughout Scripture and how we can apply that in our lives. Can I have Proverbs 16, please?
Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Thank you, Jane. Can I have Proverbs 15, please?
The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit.
Indeed. Thank you, Sue. Thank you very much. And now can I have Ephesians 4, please?
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Thank you. Now, I've got two friends in particular with whom I meet and I talk with regularly just to hear what God's doing in their lives and to exchange positive words, and to pray together. We do that specifically for those reasons, to wash some of the muck off of the world that can sometimes cling to us. And through the Bible, throughout the Bible, we meet characters who spoke powerfully and used their words to transform situations supernaturally. Their tongues declared righteous and bold expressions, which have become branded as memory verses for many of us. Let's think of Moses. We'll start with him. This man had a speech impediment. He was reluctant and afraid to be God's mouthpiece. He was perpetually transformed when God appointed his brother Aaron to assist him, and they walked together into Pharaoh's throne room, declaring, "This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me." Persistence, persuasion, and power of the tongue freed the Israelites from Egypt's oppression and set God's people in the direction of the promised land. Next, let's hear the words of Mordecai and Esther, who turned the course for the Jews from death to life. Esther had entered King Xerxes' court because of her great beauty. Her Jewish heritage held a secret. Her cousin Mordecai sends word to her in the palace. Can I have Esther 4, please, David?
Esther chapter 4, from verse 12 to 14. When Esther went to be reported to Mordecai, he sent back his answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. But if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place, and you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this.
Thank you, David. So Esther finds courage to speak to the king, foiling the plot of the villainous Haman by speaking her request. Can I have Esther 7, please, Diane?
Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, Your Majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify the serving the king.
Thank you. So Haman is executed and the Jews are spared. This is the power of the tongue. Now here's a character close to my heart, a faithful human prophet close to the Lord. This recount from 1 Kings describes how Elijah prayed to the Lord before a multitude on Mount Carmel in a confrontation to the prophets of Baal. This was the ultimate battle of the prophets. Real gladiator stuff. Elijah challenges the people of Israel to choose between Baal and the Lord, and his prayer ignites fire from heaven, demonstrating the Lord's power. Can I please have 1 Kings, David? Thank you.
At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.
Thank you, David. So Elijah's tongue speaks God's glory and the people's repentance. He prayed for fire to consume the sacrifice, demonstrating God's power, and then pleaded for rain after the people acknowledged God's true nature. This is an eloquent, formidable, and passionate demonstration of the power of the tongue. Now, we're not all called to be leaders like Moses, beauty queens like Esther, or prophets like Elijah. However, we can learn from these Old Testament personalities to use our tongues for the kingdom. With courage, grace, and boldness, in a world where many have not encountered the living God, we can speak words of truth with faith and conviction. The Gospel of Luke gives us a promise which emphasizes that the Holy Spirit will provide the right words to speak in times of need. Ajabo, could you read Luke 12, please?
When you have brought before synagogue rulers and authorities, do not worry about you, about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say.
Thank you. So we may not go to synagogues or appear before rulers and authorities to defend ourselves, but this verse, that verse that Ajaba just read, assures believers that we don't need to be afraid or worry about what to say in difficult situations, because the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. Now let's move forward to the New Testament, to Jesus himself. What does Jesus say about the tongue, about speaking truth? So when he was sending his disciples in Matthew 10, Jesus commands, can I have Matthew 10, please?
On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
Thank you. Okay, and then just a little bit before that in the chapter, we've got Matthew 10:7. John, can you read that? Thank you.
As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give.
Thank you, John. So we may not be given opportunities to heal the sick, to raise the dead, or to even drive out demons. We may not ever be brought before governors and kings to proclaim ourselves as witnesses. But if we believe in Jesus, we are disciples of Jesus, and we're learning how to follow his ways. In his teachings, Jesus emphasized the importance of mindful speech, stating that one's words would be held accountable, and that they should be used for good and building up others. He also highlighted the power of words to either destroy or create, emphasizing that we are responsible for what comes out of our mouths. Now, let's return to James 3, where we started with the children, learning how to use our tongues to speak helpful words. The intense metaphors of the rudder of the ship, the smallest organ in the body turning the entire fleet, as it were, with power, and the spark that sets the raging fire burning, destroying all in its path. So I just wanted to share a little story with you. I'm sure there's people here who knew a man called Chris Smith. Now, he was known as a prophet in our churches in Basingstoke here years ago. He was a bit quirky, but he was definitely God's mouthpiece nonetheless. And one day he said to me, he said, Linda, I don't believe I've ever given you a word, have I? And I said, no, it's true. No, he had not. So shortly after he came to me and he spoke of James 3, my immediate reaction was, oh no, I've spoken too much. I've spoken out of turn. I've spoken incorrectly. I've done something and I've said something. And he continued gently and encouragingly to me. And he said, Linda, what most people do is stop before the end of the chapter. So go and read it, and God will speak to you. So the end of chapter 3 is all about wisdom. And these are the verses that I really treasure from James 3. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So we started in James with what is known as the taming of the tongue. We heard some clear examples from our family how not to use our tongues. Thank you very much, the thespians in our group here. Thank you very much. The children have learned about the power behind our words and have hopefully made some lovely puppets with some kind words. Has anybody finished their puppet? Can anybody show me what they've made? Oh, there we go. There's some nice ones. Some very angry faces with the tongue sticking out. Hopefully the other side is full of kind words and some nice pictures. So we visited some characters in Scripture and heard about their powerful tongues and spirit-filled words. Next, we whizzed over to the New Testament to hear what Jesus commissioned his disciples to say and do in truth and without fear, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We ended back in James, thankful for a modern prophet, reminding us to read to the end of the chapter, to not only be aware of the negative power of the tongue, this we learn early in our Christian life, but to focus, really focus, on the positive power of the tongue for perpetual transformation. So I'd like us all to invite you to stand, if you may, okay, to think about and look about and see the tribes and the tongues amongst us. So if you would like to stand, maybe we could say this verse together. Thank you. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you.